Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
Crunch time! Crunch time! You're listening to Crunch Time on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Crunch time!
Crunch time!
All righty, Kansas City, welcome to Crunch Time. It is Tim Grunhardt and, you know who else, the godfather of sports, Frank Ball. We appreciate you guys listening. I want to thank our great sponsors from CBD, American Shaman. And they got a couple of great events coming up. Frank will be talking about one here in a second. But, you know, listen, you get 30% off right now at all stores. Pop on in, get your discount, and take advantage of the great, great sales out of the American Shaman. They got so many great products out there. If you're looking for something for arthritis, you're looking for something for anxiety, which most of us are right now after watching that last game. But if you're looking for something just to kind of take the edge off recreationally, CBD American Shaman has that also. And don't forget the American Shaman tent that is out at the Renaissance Festival. They're out there every weekend, and you go out there and get some great products out there. And I think you can buy tickets for the Renaissance Festival at the CBD American Shaman stores.
Yep.
So pop on in and say hello to our friends over there. Get yourself a Renaissance Festival ticket. October is the month for the Renaissance Festival. It's right in full gear right now. And Frank, you also have something coming up for American Shaman.
Right. Well, you and I will be there as well, Night of Heroes, on the 13th of October at the Marriott in Overland Park, honoring Otis Taylor, Christian Okoye, Daron Cherry, and Lee Steinberg. Last year it was Tim Grunhard and Neil Smith. And who's it? Paul Coffman?
Paul Coffman.
Paul Coffman. Yeah, it was really great. So tables, $1,500. They're going fast. It's going to be a big, fun night. And Lee Steinberg being there is pretty interesting as well. Remember, he is Patrick Mahomes' agent and signed that $500 million contract for Patrick Mahomes. So he's doing pretty good. And that's just the way it is. And yeah, so it'll be a really good, fun night, and we should have, we should be having some fun there. We had a great time last time, remember?
Yeah, we did.
It was really good.
We had a great time. Hope you guys will be out there. We'll be out there again, and want to thank our great friends from CBD American Shaman for all they do. Not only for people with pain and anxiety, and if you're looking for something with a great hemp product in it, CBD American Shaman is the store, a Kansas City company right here in Kansas City. So, yeah, take advantage of that, Frank.
Yeah, remember now, you didn't get such a great discount this week, okay?
No, you
20
didn't.
I'm sorry, not even 20 points, 17 points. Jeez, looking at Indy's final score. So hopefully the Chiefs can do a little bit better this weekend. I do not think they're going to reach the 30 mark against Tampa. That's just me. The game is officially in Tampa. So now it has become official. The NFL has said yes. Tampa and Tampa mayor, and I think even Governor DeSantis was talking about the fact they'd like to have it there, maybe a distraction for the fans after everything that's going on there. I really was doubting it would be there because I was thinking maybe Tampa would be a site for bringing a lot of people who would have been knocked out of their homes and needed a place. Tampa would be one of those spots where they could bring some people if they needed to get them up there and get them out of harm's way down there. Because Tampa was going to be the focal point of Ian coming ashore. It was going to be ground zero, but it ended up being further south of Fort Myers. Knocked out that vital bridge between Sanibel and Captiva Islands, which is gone now. Been across that bridge many times. Way back in the day when the Royals were still in Fort Myers, Florida, during their spring baseball practice. So, been many times to Sanibel and Captiva, the Mucky Duck and the Bubble Room and all those good places over there people know, especially from this area, because a lot of people used to go down there to see the Royals in spring training. And then a lot of people got down there and thought, this is a great place. Started buying, like you did, Tim, bought a second home in the state of Florida to escape the winters. And while we're talking about that, how did your home fare?
Yeah, my house was fine. You know, they got a lot of rain, some tornado warnings on Hutchinson Island where I'm at, but it's on the other side. It's a little bit farther south than where it kind of came in. So when it came into the peninsula of Florida. It started to head a little bit north, northeast, and it kind of just skirted us, but we got some of the bands, got some of the heavy rain and some of the thunderstorms and you know, a little bit of wind, but nothing real serious. So we're blessed with that, but do have a lot of friends. And I haven't talked to them because you can't. They don't have any cell service. And the people that are, you know, kind of the snowbirds that I have friends with down in Sanibel Island, they have gotten some emails. So I've been talking to them, and it's just, it's a disaster down there.
Did they
it
stay?
Really is. No. Some of the people that that I tried to get a hold of that I know are down there all year round, I have not been able to get a hold of them. But, you know, a couple of people that are snowbirds that go down there like we do kind of in January, February, March, and
they're
April.
They're not there yet.
They're not there yet. Okay. And talk to them. And, you know, each community and each complex and each, you know, different group of condos, you know, whatever you call those things. They have their own email system, so people have been sending out emails about different damages and sending pictures. And it hasn't been good. Sanibel Island and Fort Myers and Fort Myers Beach, you know, just down in Fort Myers Beach two years ago, staying on one of the houses on the inlet that goes into Fort Myers Beach, and it's a beautiful house. Had a great time. That house is probably done. I mean, it's right across from the Pink Shell Hotel, which is down there. I think it might be on the north part of the Fort Myers Beach. There's a little island called Fort Myers Beach off of Fort Myers. You take a little bridge over, and I'm sure that bridge isn't doing very good either. So our prayers are for all those people. And Frank, like you said, I thought that they would move the game. Now, I understand why they didn't. Listen, there's just a lot of moving parts when you have to go move a game. There's people who have bought tickets. There's people that, you know, their livelihood depends on, you know, having those games there. I'm talking about restaurants and bars and everything else. But the infrastructure, I thought, would not be in a position to bring all those people in. The manpower, just talking about first responders and people working there. You know,
how about the police directing traffic, you know, the escorts for the buses, even just little things. Escort for the Chiefs buses, police to man the outside of the stadium or inside is, you know, just trying to keep the order in an NFL game. You have to have emergency service people there. You have to have ambulance workers there and all that. And I thought, boy, all those people are going to be down, you know, further south in Port Charlotte, all the way down to Sanibel and Captiva, all Marco Island, all those areas down through there were, it really got devastated by Hurricane Ian. So it's been tough.
Yeah, and, you know, just the logistics of you know, flying into an airport that's been shut down for a while. Now, I know they're going to restart it here in a couple of days, but, yeah, you know, I thought they'd move it, but, you know, they didn't. And so the NFL must feel like they have a good enough opportunity to play the game there with everything that you need to play the game, and the mayor said the same thing. So and I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers probably didn't want to lose a home game, especially against the Chiefs, you know. I mean,
remember, this is that home game.
Yeah.
If Tom Brady had retired, this was the game that was going to be in Germany where you went you know, during the offseason to scout out the whole deal there. This was the game.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, Tom Brady says, I'm not retiring. And Tampa went, we ain't losing this home game to Germany. We'll go play a different game over in Germany. So that's what's going to happen. So,
karma's a bitch.
Yeah, I know.
So, but I do think that this is going to be, and we'll talk a little bit about the game in the second segment, but it's going to be a distraction. It's a natural distraction for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, they went to Miami to practice all week. You know, I'm sure there's guys that have family and friends and probably have houses that are in harm's way, and they have to worry about all that kind of stuff, just like anybody else. I mean, when you have stuff happening in your life, you know, it takes your attention away from your work. It takes your attention away from things that you have to do as far as
details.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So
dotting I's, crossing T's. Right. Now, instead of doing a football practice, you're doing it, you know, making sure you have, you know, your phone works, your electricity works, you've got water in the house, the kids and wife are okay. That whole thing, or your dot I's and cross T's now for Tampa Bay.
Yeah, and, you know, and we'll talk a little bit about that game because there's some injuries there, and then Mike Evans coming back. But let's talk really quick about the game last week.
We have to?
Yeah, I guess we do. Listen, the Kansas City Chiefs lost the football game. They lost in two or three areas. They lost on the offensive side. They lost in special teams. One of the things that Marty would always say is when you go on the road, especially, you have to win two or three areas of the football game. And the Chiefs lost two or three areas of the football game. One of the reasons why they struggled. And they struggled, let's start with the special teams. In the first quarter, they had five or six different mistakes just in the first quarter. Sky Moore's muff, and then not being able to catch a ball and letting the ball carry him down inside of the 10-yard line another time. And both, by the way, a rookie. And then, of course, the rookie mistake of Isaiah Pacheco taking the ball out once again, the Frank Bowl rule, where, you know, it didn't get it past the 10-yard line, so field position was a disaster right there. And it was a lackluster return. Didn't even look like he was indecisive and decided, okay, I'm going to take it out, and then he slowed down, and then he tried to speed up again. You just can't do that. And then, of course, a poor punt coverage. I mean, people forget about that. Their punt coverage wasn't very good. I think the returner for the Colts had a nice, like, 15- or 20-yard return. And then Matt Amendola missing the field goal all in the first quarter. I mean, that's just not a good way of starting the game, Frank.
No. Look, to me, here's the deal, too. And I know everybody's, you know, gets upset. But I said, if another Kansas City Chief returns the ball out of the end zone, Dave Tobe should be fired on the spot. Because it's coaching. You know where either that or the player's not smart enough to listen to the coach. So that's reason enough to take that player out of the game, let him go somewhere else. But that is a mistake waiting to happen. I don't care if you're 2 yards deep, 1 yard deep, 20, 10 yards deep, they kick it out of the end zone, whatever. You can't return the ball to the end zone. You've got one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. Give him the ball on the 25-yard line. Quit trying to be a hero back there. And now a lot of teams, you'll watch them kick. You'll see a lot of teams now, they want you to return the ball. So they're trying to kick it as close to the end line as they can. Meaning, I'm sorry, as close to the goal line as they can, not the end line. But the goal line as they can. They're trying to pop it up in the air higher, hit it higher like a golf shot. They're trying to keep that ball up in the air so they can get the players underneath to cover it, their own players underneath them. And they're daring you to come out. But so if they kick the ball into the end zone, you have to return the ball that's in front of the goal line. But if they kick the ball in the end zone, just down it right in the end zone. It's absolutely, there's no excuses anymore.
Yeah, and then the last thing, which was a huge thing also, the fake field goal on like fourth and nine plus. I mean, you just don't fake a field goal at that kind of length. Even if you're successful with fooling people, you're throwing the ball with a punter, usually a holder, and then now you're throwing it to a tight end. There's no way you're going to get, you know, 10, 11 yards on that play, even if you fool people. And they didn't fool anybody because everybody knew that they didn't trust a kicker, and they did their field goal safe unit out there. Didn't even look like they were rushing. It looks like they were covering everything, and they were way ahead of Dave Tobe in that situation. Yeah, so Dave Tobe, this is the worst special team performance under Dave Tobe and under Andy Reid. So this is something that needs to be addressed, and it just was not good. You can't win a football game if you're going to lose that decisively, at least in one area. Yeah. And the other area they lost in was the offense, Frank. Both the offensive line and the running backs were poor in the running game. Offensive line played poor. They did not get any push. I believe that they had like 2.5 yards a carry for the whole game, which is just not good enough. I believe that Patrick Mahomes, you know, threw his first interception. So, I mean, McKinnon apparently was yelling at teammates during the game, which we're going to talk a little bit about that in
That's
my ugly.
Because they couldn't pick up the blitz.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's other miscues. The offense was not very good. The Colts defense is good. They're not great.
They're only fair.
Yeah, they're only fair. So, but on the other side, so, hey, let's real quick, Frank, let's go to the good, bad, and the ugly.
Go ahead.
Because it kind of leading into what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So, for me, the good was the defense. Darius Harris filled in well. For Gay, I thought he played good. He had like 14 or 15 tackles, which is good. They did a good job of limiting Taylor to about, I think it's 3.4 yards a carry. I had 21 carries for 71 yards. And listen, this is a guy that led the league last year in rushing, and they want to rush the ball, and they have a good offensive line. The defense played well. Nick Bolton continues to impress. The Colts, they averaged 3.9 yards a play, which is just not very good. The Chiefs had a bunch of sacks and a bunch of pressures, and they held them to 6 out of 15 in third down situations. So the Chiefs definitely won the defensive side, and that was the good. The bad is the Chiefs' offense. was bad was, you know, usually it'd be the ugly, but there's stuff that we can talk about that was even uglier than the offense. Travis Kelce looked off. He dropped a couple balls. He dropped a TD. No running game, 2.5 yards a carry, pass rush. The pass protection was weak inside and outside. I know everybody's on Orlando Brown, but they were getting pressure with Buckner inside too. Just not very good up front, both in the run game and the passing game. And that is something that needs to be addressed because this offensive line is good. There's a lot of talented football players. They're just not playing very well together. Like I said, Buckner and Nwankwo, I think is how you say his name. Nwankwo looked like a world beater. I mean, he's just kind of a journeyman guy, and he made Orlando Brown look really, really bad, and that's not good for Orlando Brown if he wants to get this new contract, Frank.
No, that's not good for this game coming up.
No, it is not, and the receivers and the tight ends all had drops. It just was not a pretty game on the offensive side. The ugly is the lack of discipline with this football team, and this is what concerns me. Is you had Chris Jones making a very, very bad decision. Hey, listen, should the flag have been thrown? I don't know. Nobody's really quite sure what he said. His body language didn't look like he was that aggravated, but he said something, said a key word that caused the referee to throw a flag. So it's just a poor decision. It's a lack of discipline. You know, I was talking to Bobby Bell out on the golf course on Monday with Daron Cherry's golf tournament, and I asked Bobby, I said, Bobby, I mean, what was that all about? And he would say, I just told the quarterback, I'll be back. I'll see you here in a couple minutes. And, you know, you don't talk smack. You don't do all those kind of things. You're putting your own self needs in front of other people because you're frustrated and you just can't do that. And then you see Andy Reid's clock management. Oh. Wasn't very good, you know, just struggled towards the end of that game of clock management, something that we've talked about many, many times, and it reared its ugly head. And the last thing, this is the one that just, I just don't get it. Frank, this Patrick Mahomes and Eric Bieniemy fighting in half again in the same kind of situation with the same kind of thing, with the same kind of body language that was in Cincinnati now with the Colts. And it seems to me, and this is what scares me, and I'd love to get your response on this. You know, listen, it only seems to rear its ugly head in stressful situations.
Which is most games.
Right. But, I mean, it's like that buddy we have that we play golf with. If you're playing well, his little comments and his little stuff doesn't bother you. Right. But once you start to play poorly and those comments, they start to bug you, and then you want to snap back. And that's kind of what's happening here is it looks like these two just don't get along very well. And, you know, when things aren't going great and it's under stressful situations, you know, they both get their hair up on their back. And you just can't do that. I think Eric Bieniemy is a fine football coach, and I'm glad Eric Bieniemy is part of the Kansas City Chiefs organization. And I think that Patrick Mahomes is a great quarterback, maybe the best that we've ever had here in Kansas City. But these two need to coexist. They need to figure out a way to work together because it's just going to hurt the team. And I promise you that the guys around are watching. When they see that happen, it takes a little bit of the juice out of the players, and it takes a little bit of juice out of the game, and you just can't afford to do that.
Yeah, and you're undermining your offensive coordinator at the same time. Don't do it in public. You want to do it in the tunnel, up the tunnel. You got the whole nation's watching a football game. They're sitting there watching and going, what the heck? And then you have to have the head coach come and grab Patrick by the elbow and lead him away.
Yeah.
I mean, just – and here's the other thing for me on that before we get into some of the other stuff. You know how I feel about the special teams at this point. You know, Dave Tobe was the – I don't know. I guess the greatest guru ever on special teams is going to be the next head coach somewhere else, et cetera, et cetera. It hasn't happened. He's still here. Eric Bieniemy, every year for the past 5 years, I guess, or 4 years, whatever it is, has been interviewing for head coaching jobs and hasn't gotten one. My thoughts are on this, too, and you can talk about this more than I can. Sometimes keeping the same staff together for a long period of time, remember Bob Dutt or the old defense coordinator.
Gunther?
No. Sutton. Bob Sutton.
Yeah.
Okay, remember they kept him around, because Andy's very loyal. Sometimes it's better to get a different voice, and we got Spags in here. Looks like that has, you know, worked out pretty good. It hasn't been perfect, but it's worked out better than Sutton was, okay? But maybe some of these coaches are on the staff too long. Sometimes you just, it goes in, now they're starting to talk to you, it's in one ear and out the other. I've heard the same voice, same guy, or whatever, for 5 or 6 years, And now the message just isn't getting across anymore. And sometimes you got to shake up your staff. Now, they can't do that until after the season's over. But it's something to keep in mind as this team moves forward this season to see exactly what happens here. Because if you have an argument with your offense coordinator on the sidelines in front of anybody, that is not a good look. It's not a good look for you.
Not two out of the last five
coordinator. It's not a good look for your teammates. And it's not a good look for your head coach either, okay, to do this. The other thing is, Chris Jones, just shut up and play football.
Yeah.
Okay? You laid on the quarterback too long. Okay? You're down there talking to Ryan in his ear. You're laying on him when he's on the ground. Ryan's not saying a word to you. You get up, you stand up, and now you're still in his face. And the referee, even if he didn't drop the F-bomb, or whatever the language he used. It was too long, and we are emphasizing no taunting. So here comes the flag. So just shut up play football.
It's a point of emphasis this year.
Yes.
It's just, they're trying to get this. You know, we see a little bit of this in the NBA. We see this with the bat flip in baseball. And, people putting their own needs just to kind of show people up in front of other people. And the NFL is trying to limit that, and that's fine. Listen, we're not trying to take your personality away. We're not trying to make you all robots out there, but you got to make good decisions.
Yeah, and here's the other thing about playing when you're playing Indy, okay? And the defense looked great. I'm not going to take anything away. And Spags drew up a great defensive game plan because they only scored 20 points, okay? So let's get real here. The Chiefs were their own worst enemies. But deal is, it's easy to draw up the plans he drew up against a guy like Matt Ryan, who's at the end of his career. Now, you can say maybe the same thing, about Tom Brady here in a second. But the deal is, he ain't going anywhere. We can blitz the hell out of this guy. He can't get out of his own way, okay? If we fill the gaps with blitzes, we can stop the running back at the same time.
Yeah.
When you get in against a different quarterback, a kid like Josh Allen, who's next, okay? Well, it's actually Tom Brady, and then it's Josh Allen. No, it's not. It's the Raiders, two games down.
Yeah, we got you, though.
It's the Raiders, and then you've got Josh Allen coming in here with the Buffalo Bills. It's going to be a situation where you're not going to be able to do that, okay? This week, you've got another quarterback who really can't get out of his own way anymore, okay? Problem with this quarterback is he gets rid of the ball and less than 2 seconds. He just gets rid of the football. And blitzing him ain't a great idea as well. Number two, his wife's back in South Florida, Tim. She came back to South Florida, so maybe they are trying to mend fences with the Tom Brady situation. We'll have to see if he's in a better mood this week. He hasn't been in a real good mood lately because he and Giselle just ain't getting along. And don't think that does not affect football and preparation. We talked about some of these guys from Tampa dealing with the weather and everything that's happened there. Tom Brady is sitting there thinking, where's my life going at this point? I was going to retire, decide not to. Giselle got mad at me, wouldn't come back to South Florida when I came back. And now she's just coming back for this game. So we'll have to see what happens. But keep an eye on it. I don't know. We'll have to see. Some guys can compartmentalize these things really well. And when they're out there playing football, they're playing football. But sometimes they really do, seep into their game, and that can make it a very, very difficult situation.
Yeah, I love your take on the coaches, and you can kind of tell when guys aren't particularly listening to the coaches. And I'm not saying they're not. I'm just telling you what to look for, because in 11 years, I've been through a lot of different coaches and a lot of different situations. I've seen a lot of different relationships, and I've coached. I coached at a spot where basically towards the end of my tenure there, they weren't particularly listening to me either. So I knew it. But what you see is the first thing that goes is the communication. Not only the communication between the player and the coach, but between the players and the players. Because you kind of lose a little bit of that feeling of being kind of in this thing together. Because it feels like you're kind of that battle sometimes between the coaches and the players and the coaches. And you lose that communication. The offensive line right now is not playing in sync. And I'm not saying that Andy Heck is part of the problem.
I think they're banged up. I think Brown and Smith are both hurt.
They may be both hurt, but just seems like everybody's they're just not on the same page of pass protection and not on the same page in some of their running game stuff. They're not getting to the second level as effectively as they were. The wide receivers are not getting open. The people are disguising coverages. They're not playing the cover two anymore, so now they're disguising coverages a little bit. And guys, wide receivers can't get off the press. You get up in the face of our wide receivers, they can't get off the press, which slows them down, which throws the timing off. And we saw a couple different situations last week where the timing just wasn't there.
Well, Mahomes
because of
missed
that.
The scantling. He was wide open, but he threw it too far, but I think he thought he was going to get there quicker than he did.
And lack of execution. Yep. I mean, and you're seeing that right now and on the offensive side. You're seeing it on the defense, I mean, on the special team side of it, and that's something that the Chiefs have got to straighten out. But the Chiefs have struggled, man. They're struggling right now on the offensive side. They just don't have an identity. They don't have a go-to guy. And I'm one of those guys who was fine with Tyreek Hill leaving. I really was. I mean,
they miss him, though.
But that's my point. I mean, they miss him because he was the kind of the guy that when Patrick Mahomes, when things kind of went south during a play, he knew that he could just throw the damn ball as far as he possibly could, and Tyreek Hill is going to be able to find a way to get to that ball. Or, you know, or Travis Kelce. Now he only has one, and that's Travis Kelce, and teams know that. So teams are taken away. As soon as the scramble drill starts, as soon as he starts to move around the pocket, everybody's gravitating towards who? Travis Kelce.
Travis Kelce, yep. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you bet. And so we're going to talk about this next game coming up. By the way, Tampa Bay moved from a 3.5-point underdog at home. They are now 1.5-point favorite. So there's a lot of money went to the Kansas City Chiefs, and now Tampa Bay is moving back. I do not like this game. The guy playing quarterback can just make you look bad. They have a very solid defense and good solid front, and I worry about the Chiefs offensive line. We're going to talk about that next. You are listening to
Crunch Time. All right, guys, welcome back to Crunch Time. It is Tim Grunhardt and Frank Bowe. We appreciate you guys listening in on a Thursday right here in the middle of high school football season. College football season is getting into full gear, and the NFL is going into game week four. So football is in full swing. We appreciate you guys listening in here on a Thursday. I want to thank our great friends and sponsors, CBD American Shaman. If you're looking for some products to help out with anxiety or pain or just looking for some recreational time to take a little bit of the edge off, CBD American Shaman is your store. Remember, it's a Kansas City company. All the products are made right here in Kansas City, and they go through, a couple different checks for purity and for making sure that they have the right amount of product in each product that they use. When I'm talking about like that hemp THC type of deal, and they do just really a good job of keeping it where it's supposed to be.
0.03% or less.
There you go. So, go pop in there and say hello to our friends at CBD America Shaman.
Yeah, don't forget the Night of Heroes on the 13th of October, Marriott Overland Park, honoring Otis Taylor, Christian Okoye, Duron Cherry, and Lee Steinberg will be there as well. Tables are going fast. Contact them at Third and Long.
All right, Frank, so the game is not going to be moved.
Right.
The Kansas City Chiefs will get on a plane on Saturday and fly down to Tampa Bay. And they will play against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Tampa. Remember, this was the game, like Frank pointed out in the first segment, that was going to be in Munich. And when Tom Brady decided he was not going to retire, that they said, we are not moving that premier game to Munich. We want to have that here. We want to have it on primetime. We want to have it in the United States. It's a 7 p.m. game, I believe, or whatever it is, like 7:20 or whatever
something.
The heck it is. So that'll be going on Sunday night. The Bucs do have some injuries. Julio Jones is still out. Chris Godwin is still out. But Mike Evans is back from his suspension, which is something that Tom Brady's been struggling. He just hasn't had any weapons right now.
Yeah, right. And that's an important thing to keep in mind. He does have a tendency to make other people look better. That's been that has been his MO ever since he has been in the league, because he went through so many offensive players while he was playing for New England, and he still won so many Super Bowls that he just makes everybody better. He makes the offensive line better because he gets rid of football so fast. So, you know, the front four has got to do what they can to get to him. I don't think you're going to see them blitz him a lot. They might after the success they had last week, but he's like Patrick Mahomes. You blitz him, He's gonna eat you alive. Okay, so it ain't a good idea to blitz Tom Brady. So we'll see. Have to see how that happens. But they're formidable on offense. So we're gonna see how it goes here for the Tampa Bay Bucs.
Yeah.
They have been injured. They're gonna get Evans back. Correct. They're gonna get him back. Big receiver, tough guy to cover. So we'll just have to see how everything works.
Yeah, and the offensive line for the Bucs, they've had some key injuries. They're all-world centers out. And Robert Hainsey, who's a good friend of Colin, who played with Colin for 4 years at Notre Dame, they came in the same class, who was a right tackle for Notre Dame, and they moved him into center. He's starting. He's going into his fourth game. A nice player, but, you know, listen, the defensive line for the Kansas City Chiefs should dominate up front. Their line has been – it's been hurt. They've had issues. They have a rookie starting at left guard. They got a guy playing center that was a right tackle and now is, you know, trying to cut his teeth here a little bit in his fourth game at center. And so, I mean, they have some guys back like the Tristan Wirfs, who's a heck of a player, and Shaq Mason's a heck of a player. But, you know, they're banged up a little bit up front. Fournette is a guy that seems to have a pretty good game against the Chiefs every time. He's a big physical runner. So the Chiefs have got to do a good job once again of limiting the running game and trying to make them one-dimensional. They did that against the Colts. We talked about it last week. They kind of slowed down Taylor. They need to do the same thing this week against Fournette. But that's easier said than done. This offensive line isn't as good as the Colts offensive line, but their quarterback can do many more things than Matt Ryan could do. So you can't just rely on saying, "Hey, listen, we'll try to make them pass the ball and take away the run," because Tom Brady can still hurt you, even though he's 45 years old, whatever he is. Still hurt you. So on that side of the ball, I think that the Chiefs should keep him down. Tom Brady, like you said, is not as mobile, doesn't run around as much as he used to. And against Green Bay, he looks slow back there. And sure what it was. I mean,
I think he's just his age.
He just looks slow back there.
Yeah, sometimes you fall right off the edge. Yeah, but it was interesting because Shaq Barrett came out and said they're going to have a coming out party against the Chiefs offensive line. That they think it's the same type of offensive line they faced in the Super Bowl, that they dominated when they played that game. So we're going to see if that goes up as bulletin board material. Patrick Mahomes was asked about it yesterday, and he had like a 6-second answer. Just say, "Hey, we'll go in there and do what we do." And, you know, I don't care what he's saying about our offensive line.
Well, their offensive line has not played well. So, I mean, they got to be licking. No. They got to be licking their chops. I mean, they really do. Wiley, he's a little banged up. He went out for a couple plays.
Mm-hmm.
Orlando Brown, I don't know if he's hurt. He just hasn't looked good. He's looked a little bit like he did at the beginning of last year. We were hoping that the arrow was pointing up on him going into his second year in this offense. We made a lot of excuses for him last year. It was a brand new offense, a brand new pass blocking scheme, you know, not used to the quarterback, right. Blah, 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 this or that. And then he went out this year, wanted to be paid as number one or number two left tackle in the league. They franchised him, and I'm glad they did because
you might not want to sign him a long-term
You just
deal.
Don't know. I think, like you said, Smith has been hurt. And listen,
they say he's hobbling around at practice.
Creed is, and listen, I'm a big Creed fan. I think he's a heck of a player, but the book is out on him. They're bringing blitzes from the second level, and he's missed a couple times with some inside blitzes with some speed guys that are using his aggressiveness against him. So the offensive line is struggling a little bit, Frank, and there are some concerns. They're just not on the same page in run or pass. And this defense is a hell of a defense. And you've got to, like you said, man, you got Goulston, you have Shaq Barrett, you have they got a second round draft pick out of Houston, this Logan Hall, who's really made a big splash. So they got to play better up front if they're going to have any chance of winning this game.
Yeah, and really, even though they've been hurt, I think their pass protection efficiency is pretty good. They're ninth in the league, which is good. You know, that's you're in the top third league in pass protection, pass blocking efficiency. So that's great. They can't run the ball, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. A big key here for me will be Harrison Butker, whether he can play or not, because I think it's going to be a very tight
game. They just brought
in
another kicker.
They just brought in the other kicker's
name
is Matt Wright.
I
think he played for the Steelers and Jets or something. But he was sitting on
Jacksonville, too.
He was sitting on the scrap heap. So, you know, you have him out there. But Butker, he went out yesterday and worked out, came in today and was sore. They're going to shut him down again. I think it's going to be almost a game-time decision for him. Keep an eye on that for pregame, because that is going to be essential for this football team as far as whether he is healthy enough to play in this football game or not. The Chiefs cannot have what they had last week. That was disaster. That was just, missed extra point. They had to run the fake field goal because they didn't trust him to kick one. Missed field goal. It was just a disaster all the way around on special teams last week.
So Patrick Mahomes and Eric Bieniemy, hopefully they made up and they gave themselves a couple bro hugs because we just can't have these stress fights that have been happening. And they got to be on the same page if this offense is going to work the way it needs to work. The wide receivers, a couple points of emphasis for you guys. The wide receivers have got to find a way to get some separation. That's not going to be easy against this Tampa Bay team. They're pretty good in the secondary, but they've got to find some separation. They got to get Patrick Mahomes some ability to get rid of the ball once he steps up. That's what happened last week is he stepped up in the pocket. One of the things that he's been trying to do a bunch of, step up and then slide back and forth. Maybe slide left to right to get the ball down the field, but there was nobody open, so there's no separation. So right. He was forcing things or running and or throwing incomplete passes. You just can't do that. You got to establish the running game. We have to establish the running game up front. I don't know if we got to go to a gap scheme, which is you cut the defense at the point and then you clear out with a puller, whether it's two pullers, whether it's a counter with a tight end and a guard, or whether it's just a guard on a power or a trap. You have to be able to run the ball. And when you're struggling in the zone game, getting to the second level, sometimes it helps out to just go to a different kind of scheme and go to that gap scheme where you can cut the defense and you can get some push at the line of scrimmage and then hopefully get some pullers and some aggressiveness because, listen, teams have been very aggressive against the Kansas City Chiefs up the field, especially the defensive ends. You get those defensive ends being aggressive up the field, you could trap them, you could kick them out, and you have some natural seams. The Chiefs have got to establish the running game. And then lastly, this once again on the offensive line, you've got to protect the quarterback. I know Frank says they're ninth in the league, but Patrick Mahomes is one of those guys that he does a good job of getting out of bad situations. It seems like he's been in a bunch of bad situations, so I think he's covered a little bit for these guys.
Yeah.
If you watch. But this team has got to be better, especially this week, because this team, the heart and soul of this team, the soul of the team is Tom Brady, but the heart of this team is the defense.
Yeah, right. And I think Chiefs offense is totally out of sync. I just think Patrick Mahomes and the wide receivers are still getting used to one another. I don't care how much you worked out in Texas. Okay, he's still getting used to these guys.
Yeah.
He overthrew Scantling, probably thought he was going to be a little bit deeper downfield. Maybe thought it was like Tyreek. He's got that kind of speed. Obviously, he doesn't. Travis Kelce, the ball was sort of thrown behind. That would have been a hell of a catch in the end zone there for a touchdown. But it's sort of thrown. Oh, now, he's made that catch in the past. Probably should have made that catch here, but you just didn't do it. And they just seem out of sync to me. And I think it's going to take them a while to get adjusted. I think they do miss Tyreek Hill. I don't think there's any doubt. I think we all sort of knew that was going to happen. Everybody's going, oh, we're not going to miss Tyreek. We've got all these other guys. No, you're going to miss Tyreek Hill. He's the most feared receiver in the NFL. And he's proving that in Miami. He and Tua are starting to get on the same page, and they're – he's playing okay. He's not playing great, but he's playing okay. I know somebody threw out a stat that he has he has almost as many yards and as many receiving touchdowns as the entire Chiefs wide receiver class, but Tyreek did that in just one game. That's when he had the big game. So,
this is a stat that the Kansas City Chiefs cannot live with. You can't live with this. The Chiefs have had the football 20 times over the past 2 weeks where they've been kept to 14 times they've been kept to 37 yards or less.
Wow.
You can't do that.
And that's not their offense. That is just ridiculous when you think of Patrick Mahomes.
Think about that, guys. 20 times they've had the ball over the last couple weeks, and 14 of them they were held to 30, basically 35 yards or less. And that's like, what, maybe one or two first downs and three and outs. That's just not very good. Patrick Mahomes, the lack of execution, they got to find a way to get that straightened out. Now, one of the things that I was thinking about, Frank, and I want to get your opinion on this one, is that, it looks like Hilaire and McKinnon are trying to hit home runs every time they run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
They're bouncing things, and you just can't bounce the ball in the NFL. Those guys are too fast.
The linebackers are way too fast. Just get upfield. Go north and south. Don't go east and west.
So do you make a change and try to take Ronald Jones and put him in there? Because
I would definitely give
Ronald Jones 3, 4, 5 yards of carry up the middle.
Why is he on you? Well, why is he here if you're not going to use him?
And he's going against his old team.
Use the guy. He knows his old team.
Yeah.
Use the guy. Yeah, I think they will this week. I think he's going to get a shot this week.
I think that would be huge if they can get him involved in this, because all you got to do, man, is just stay between the tackles. The Chiefs, the one thing that they have done a pretty good job of is, the three guys inside, have locked guys up. Maybe haven't got to quite to the second level, but they've locked guys up at the point of attack on the line of scrimmage. And, you know, it just seems like the running backs are trying to bounce things and try to make big plays out
of stutter step and just get in the hole and get going.
All right, Frank, I guess that means we got to get going here. Take a little break.
And then we're going to come back with a little bit of a prediction for this week's game.
All right.
I don't like the Chiefs in this game, but I'll just say that for here. You're listening to
Crunch Time. All right, guys, welcome back to Crunch Time. It is Tim Grunert and Frank Bowler talking a little bit about the big game coming up in Tampa.
It will be in Tampa.
Not in Minneapolis or Miami or San Antonio, which is one of the places I thought they might move it to. It is in Tampa. So, Frank.
All you Chiefs fans that had this idea, we're going to jump in a car and go to Minneapolis. Great idea. It's only about a six-hour drive. Would have been all Chiefs fans. Not going to happen.
Listen, let's talk a little bit about predictions for this game. I think the Kansas City Chiefs bounce back in this game. I very rarely does an Andy Reid team lay an egg 2 weeks in a row. There's no indication that they won't, but it's just something that Andy does not usually let happen. I think he focuses his guys. That's why he's one of the best coaches in the history of the NFL. And I think this team will come out and fire on all cylinders. And I know, Frank, you don't like this game, but I think the Chiefs win this game by like 10.
Whoa.
I really do. I think the Chiefs come
you
out.
You predicted last week's game.
Yeah,
you
I did.
Predicted
they were going to lose the
game. You did not like that game.
I did not like this game. I think this is a game that the Chiefs find a way to focus. I think sometimes when you have these issues that cropped up, it's a wake-up call. A splash of cold water in your face that you're not quite as good as you think you are, and you better wake your ass up or you're going to repeat it. And the last thing you want to do is fly back on a plane again with that feeling. You know, I know for a fact, I talked to some people that were on the plane. That plane was, it was like a funeral home in there. It was quiet, not a peep. Usually, you know, even after losses, you know, you have some guys that are boisterous.
It loosens up after a while, normally.
But not this time. It was really, really quiet on that plane. So the Chiefs obviously knew that they let one go. And they have an opportunity. Tom Brady is... You know, he's Tom Brady, but, you know, you can get to him a little bit more. This offensive line isn't quite as good as it was last year, the last couple of years. And the defense is playing really well on the Kansas City Chiefs side. So hopefully they can get to Tom Brady and limit the running game. I like the Chiefs in this game. I think this is a bounce back game for him.
So you think they're going to win by 10?
Yeah, I'm going to say like 28 to
18
or can you get 18?
I don't know.
Let's say 28-17. How about that?
Okay. All right. Yeah, I don't like this game for a lot of reasons. Number one, I think the Chiefs are totally discombobulated. I think they're not in lockstep with one another. Hate seeing what happened at halftime with Eric Bieniemy and Patrick Mahomes. I think Patrick Mahomes is frustrated, not only at what happened at halftime, but just with the way the offense is rolling. I can't seem to hook up with his receivers like he has in the past. I think he's very frustrated and trying to do a little bit too much. We talked about the running backs trying to do what they're trying to do. I think Tampa's going to be very inspired about what happened in the state of Florida, and I think they're going to try to play with that on their minds, okay, which can either be a distraction or it can be a real motivating factor. They went from a 3.5-point underdog at home to now they're back being a favorite at home. I just think, you know, I don't know. I just think it's going to be one of those. I think it's going to be pretty sloppy again. I think it's going to be like 23-20 Tampa. We'll just see what happens. And the best thing for Chiefs fans to hear this is that when I go against the Chiefs like this, they usually win. So you may be in pretty good shape here. So,
well, there you go. All right, Frank. We will see. We'll be back here again next Thursday to break it down. Let's hope we're all in a better mood. Let's hope we see a better product. Let's hope that everybody's a lot happier because it's been kind of miserable around town after that game. And we want to get out of that. That's a great thing. We got to have the midnight rule. Let's just go to the next week. We're here. Let's go win a football game. You've been listening to
Crunch Time.